Thank you, Amy Fleet, Kendall Lambert, Richard McDeasy, and Kevin O'Keefe. Isn't that great? Getting us all warmed up. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Unity Renaissance on another beautiful Sunday morning. And it is quite beautiful in here. And yes, it is a little bit warm. We're having some air conditioning challenges at the moment, so I invite you to channel your inner coolness and affirm that it will begin kicking on very soon. You know that this energy that we feel is just intensified by the love that we are and the love we feel for one another. And I truly hope that as you come through those doors today and every day, that as you do, you feel the presence of love, that you know that you are welcomed and accepted and appreciated for exactly who you are. We know that each of us is an expression of the divine, as is every other being in the universe. And so we behold the highest and best in each other, and we behold the highest and best in all of life. At Unity Renaissance, our vision is for, together, a spiritually awakened world, living in peace, love, and joy. Beautiful, inspiring vision, and we do our part to bring it into manifestation through our mission, which is, together, we transform lives that transform the world. Let's begin our transformation work this morning in prayer. I invite you to take a deep breath in. Allow spirit to fill your lungs and every cell of your being. And let go into the divine presence that unites us. Allow yourself to feel this great centering energy, this great love that is the truth of who you are. We know that each of us is here this morning by divine appointment to both give and receive blessings, to show up as the hands, the feet, the voice, the heart of God in expression. We give thanks for this very special spiritual community and the ways in which it helps each of us to grow and serve. And for the joy of sharing our spiritual journey, and day by day knowing to a greater degree the truth of who we are so grateful. So deeply grateful. Thank you, Spirit. And so it is. Amen. When I was growing up, if I was ever going through a hard time or feeling low, my mom would comfort me by sharing lines from her very favorite poem. And it's called The Rainy Day by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And she would share with me the last stanza of that poem, which says, "Be still, sad heart, and cease repining. Behind the clouds, the sun's still shining. Thy fate is the common fate of all. Into each life some rain must fall. Some days must be dark and dreary." I always appreciated that. I feel that it was my mother's way of telling me that this too shall pass. And in fact, those words, "this too shall pass," are said to be among the wisest words ever spoken. And it can indeed be extremely comforting to know that whatever we're going through right now is temporary, and it too shall pass. But sometimes knowing that the storms in our life will eventually blow over isn't enough, because what are we supposed to do in the meantime? Here we are in the middle of a storm, trying to find our place of calm, our place of strength. How are we to do that? So for guidance on this, I'd like to turn to one of the best-known stories in the Bible, and it is the story of how Jesus calmed the storm. And it's told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I'll share with you the version from Mark, because Mark is considered to be the first gospel that was written, about 40 or so years after Jesus' death. So in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, it talks about how Jesus was with his disciples along the Sea of Galilee. And then it says, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Fabulous story, and when we read it or hear it, just as with everything in Scripture, we are left to consider, what's the lesson here? What am I to learn from this? What is the meaning in my life? Well, there is a traditional interpretation of this story, and then there is a non-traditional interpretation of this story. So the traditional interpretation would be that Jesus had amazing, really unfathomable powers beyond anything that we could ever imagine. That he was in his own right a miracle worker. That he could do things that we could never do. And on one mainstream Christian website, it interprets it this way. It says, "The apostles marveled at the powerful display of Jesus' supernatural ability over the elements." And then it says, "If Jesus can calm the storms of the sea with one word, he can calm the storms of life as well." That interpretation implies that Jesus is something, someone, an entity different from, special, someone that is so beyond our understanding that he can come in and rescue us. If we simply believe in him, he will come and rescue us. So this is the more traditional interpretation. Then there is the non-traditional interpretation, and as you might well imagine, this is the one we are more likely to embrace in Unity. The non-traditional interpretation says that when Jesus calmed the storm, he was showing the disciples something that he knew they had the capacity to do as well. He was frustrated because they had not tapped in to the divine power within them to create the very calm and peace that they wanted to have happen. And so truly, when we think of it this way, we connect with Jesus as the great example. We call him in Unity our way shower. He was showing us what is possible for us. Is it ambitious? Yes. Is it almost unfathomable? Yes. But as a teacher, his message was, "Follow me. What I have done, you can do too. And greater things still." So in my view, if it were different, and if Jesus had really wanted us to worship him as a God who would come to our rescue, I believe this story would have read quite differently. I believe that when he had been awakened, he would have said, "Oh my gosh, did I fall asleep? I'm so sorry. Thank you for waking me up. Here, let me take care of this situation. Bada bing, bada boom. The storm is calmed. All is well. And by the way, guys, if you ever need me again, just call." Kind of like Superman or Iron Man, or those guys do, right? They're a superhero who's on call for us. But Jesus didn't do that. Instead, he admonished the disciples. He said, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" Not, "Where's your faith in me?" as in, "Why didn't you wake me up a little sooner?" Where is your faith in yourselves? Where is your faith in God, the presence of God in you? Where is your faith that you can manage the storm? It was as if he was saying this whole thing is a matter of consciousness. The storm, the calm, your fear around dying and perishing, and you are becoming calm. It's all a matter of consciousness. So that he was saying, if you get your consciousness right, you will be peaceful in any storm. And as if to exaggerate and prove the point, by golly, he fell asleep when the boat was filling with water. How much more peaceful can you be in the middle of a storm? But it was all about consciousness. It was all about what I have done, you can do. And this was the lesson he wanted us to learn. Unity minister Ed Townley writes, "The entire point and purpose of the ministry of Jesus was to awaken people to their innate oneness with the divine, the Christ energy that is our true identity. This message was opposed on one hand by those from traditional paths, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who simply didn't believe it. On the other hand, his message was opposed, however inadvertently, by those of his followers who believed that Jesus had an intimate oneness with God, but didn't believe it of themselves. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus continually trying to expand their awareness, to stop seeing him as the only source for healings and transformations, and to begin doing the same work themselves." A very different, and I would even say a very empowering interpretation of what our spiritual work is to be. So this story about Jesus calming the storm reminds me of a story, really a near legendary story that's told at Unity Village. And when we were back there a few weeks ago, we got to hear the story again. So the story is about May Rowland. May was the director of Silent Unity. Do you know what Silent Unity is? It's a 24/7 prayer ministry for Unity. May was the director of Silent Unity for 55 years, from 1916 to 1971. So one day, May was there at the village, or not, it wasn't the village yet, but she was there at Silent Unity. And a tornado, you know, they have a lot of tornadoes in the Midwest. This is Kansas City. So a tornado was headed straight for Unity Village. May went out onto the balcony of the Silent Unity building. And we can imagine the wind was already whipping up and the rain was falling on her. She summoned that amazing prayer consciousness within her. And with great authority and intention and conviction, she basically said, "Get thee gone, storm. Go elsewhere." She did it with all of the power in her, and don't you know, the tornado lifted and went elsewhere. Now this, as I said, is of mythic proportions, and there were people who were present there who attest to this, etc. But isn't it interesting that when we hear this story about how Myrtle summoned this greater power within her and brought it to bear on the physical situation, that no one says, "Oh, that May, she must be God. Let's bow down and worship her." There was never a sense that May was capable of doing something that none of us could do. That truly she was separate from and different from the rest of us. No. The lesson was that May has shown us something that is possible for us. How do we get there? How do we do that? That's pretty cool stuff. How do we tap into that amazing divine energy in us to make a difference on the outside and on the inside? And I believe this is truly what both May and Jesus most wanted in their teachings, to remind us you have this power in you. You have it in you. Tap into it and use it. And know peace in any situation. It may well be that when we're living from our full Christ consciousness, that we can redirect storms and calm the winds and the sea. But honestly, the greater use of our capabilities is probably to calm the storm within. This is where we really struggle sometimes, isn't it? You know, we all have our challenges in life. It can be illness, financial challenges, marriage problems, job loss. Can be sadness, grieving, loneliness, whatever it is. Those are just a few. And what's happening in those situations on the outside, the external turmoil, pales in comparison to what's raging on the inside. Is it not true? We feel ourselves getting worked up, getting out of control, not being able to find our way, feeling confused, feeling lost. And the fact is that if we master the ability to calm ourselves inside, we can weather any storm. And that's not just pie in the sky stuff. It's our spiritual practice that we can actually connect to the divine within to steer us through any external challenge and to remember who we truly are. You know, we can use techniques that help us release our chaotic thoughts and our raging emotions and our obsessive fear and come home. Come home to who we truly are. This, I believe, is the message that is shared underneath in this story, and Jesus says it so beautifully in three words. Peace. Be still. Calm the storm within you. Peace. Be still. Well, you may be thinking, that sounds lovely. How am I supposed to do that? So here is my three-step formula. To shift your attention, to direct your attention, and to give your attention. So we begin, if we're in a chaotic situation, if we're in chaos within, we begin shifting our attention from the story of what's going on to the presence of the divine in us. Emmett Fox used to say that the golden key solution to any problem is simply to stop fretting and focusing on the problem and think about God. When we stop being oriented to whatever this stuff is out here and turn within, we connect with a place of peace. And we can do that very simply through prayer and meditation, as you all know. And one very useful technique is to use a mantra or a holy name or a holy word or a piece of scripture. It could even be peace, be still, that we repeat to ourselves as gradually we relax, we relax, we go deeper. We get calmer. We're at peace. Your word may be Jesus. Your word may be love. Your mantra may be this too shall pass. Whatever it is, whatever brings you comfort and helps calm the raging waters within you. You know, Jesus used to call God Abba, which means Papa, a nice, beautiful, familiar term. And I often use that as a mantra to calm myself, or even just during the day, to remind myself. Because that word connects me with Jesus and God in one fell swoop. Abba. And you know, the more we put our mantra and our prayers and our verses and our affirmations to use in the good times, the more they're available to us in the hard times. So this is a very tried and true technique for getting still and centered in the storm. We shift our attention from the outer to the inner. The second technique is to direct our attention. And by this I mean direct our attention to the present moment. You know, they say that when someone is upset, they're upset only about 10% for what is happening now, and the other 90% is stuff that happened in the past. So if we direct our attention to this now moment and become very, very present, we free ourselves from obsessing about the past or worrying about the future. And you know, not only that, when we become focused in the present, things look different, don't they? When you really look around, just as Heidi was talking about, when you really look around, you see wonderful, amazing things. And you connect with the very heart of life. As we enter into the great open field of our present moment consciousness, not only are we calmed, but we find that the answers or whatever we seek begins to just bubble up and appear before us. Beautiful. And the final of the threefold path here is to give attention. We give attention. Give attention means really to give love. We give our attention to ourselves and we give it to others. We give it to ourselves and to others with kindness. You know, kindness is such a powerful spiritual practice. The great medieval mystic Ruysbroeck once said, as he was asked the secret to a spiritual life, he said, "Be kind, be kind, be kind." We can begin by being kind to ourselves, which is something we too often overlook. As the Daily Word reminds us today, self-care is important. And as an aside on that, I was kind to myself Friday by getting only the second mani-pedi of my entire life. Yes. Just a small thing, but I had fun. And then we can be kind to others. And you know, it's remarkable when we're kind to others how much it calms us down inside. It's really almost something we do for ourselves. That kindness is a powerful spiritual practice, and as we know, whatever we send out into the world comes back to us increased and multiplied. So let me share with you a story that I believe illustrates this in a most powerful way. As some of you know, I regularly visit one of our congregants, one of our members, longtime members, who is currently incarcerated. And it's the result of a most tragic auto accident in which a life was lost. I visit her every Thursday. We have become very close friends. So she has described to me what it's like in the jail cell. It's very small. So I'm picturing it as a bunk here and a bunk there, and maybe about this much room. She says about this much room between, little bit of space at the end, no windows. They never go outside, never allowed outside. Totally in here. So she told me a few weeks ago that they now have three people in her cell. So they filled that little space in the back with another bed. And then she told me that she had two new roommates. And when they first got there, they were verbally abusive to her. They yelled at her. They insulted her. They called her names. They told her they didn't like her. They didn't like the fact that she walks around for exercise. They cursed at her. Now, I want you to imagine what this would be like. Most of your life, your days are in a confined space, and the only people you are spending time with are attacking you verbally. So my friend did something so amazing. She said, "I didn't really know what else to do, so I decided to bless them." She didn't do it out loud, and I think that was probably wise. She turned within, and she held them in the light, and she sent them as much love as she possibly could. Blessings, blessings, beholding the Christ in them, beholding the best in them. And then she told me, 24 hours later, they came to her and apologized. They said, "We are so sorry for the way we've treated you. We will never do that again." And they haven't. Kindness, giving attention, seeing the highest and best. And I think the story really shows all three steps of how we find peace within. For she, my friend, was able to shift her attention from the outer situation to the inner place of peace. She was able to direct her attention where she wanted it, in blessing them. And she gave attention by giving her love, holding them in prayer. It's a beautiful example. This place of peace is always within us. And you know, life has its ups and downs, but we don't have to go up and down with them. We can find our steady rock, if you will. We can find the presence of God in us. Just as Jesus calmed the storm by saying, "Peace, be still," we can calm the storm within us the same way. I believe this is what he wanted for us, to be at peace, to be at happy, to weather any storm. As you are going through the hard times in your life, and some of you may be doing that right now, I invite you to try this, to shift your attention, direct your attention, and give your attention. and see if it doesn't make you feel calmer and more at peace within. And as a last resort, or maybe an additional tool, say to yourself, behind the clouds, the sun's still shining, and this too shall pass. But what I would want you to know is when you're in the throes of that storm, however lost you may feel, you're not alone. You're all right. You are loved. You are precious. You are cherished. There is nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. And all is well. Let's move now into our meditation. Let's take a deep breath in, and as we let go, just feel peace spreading from the top of our heads to the tip of our toes. Feel this holy light of spirit, of God, whatever name we call it, blessing us, moving through us from top to bottom. We know that truly it only takes a moment to turn within, to let go and let God, to really let go. And know that we are being held tenderly by the presence of God within us. I invite you to take another deep breath in. And as you let it go, settle a little more deeply into this place of peace at the very core of your being. In even the darkest time, there is a light. At the very heart of you, there is a light that shines on, that guides your way. I invite you to turn your attention to that light within you, that sure and steady presence. And allow yourself to rest there for a few moments in the silence. Peace, be still. We send up a prayer of gratitude to our way shower, Jesus the Christ, to the spiritual teachers who have come before us and are with us still, for showing us the way, for helping us believe in the power within us to be calm and strong in any storm, the presence of God in us, and our ability to be loving and kind. For these many blessings, for the joy of this journey, for every day unfolding with new lessons, we are so grateful. Thank you, sweet spirit. And so it is. Amen.